Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Water baptism. You know, it's an exciting time when we can water baptize people because it marks a changed life by God and a personal decision to follow Jesus Christ onward in those people being water baptized life. Amen. Before we water baptize, many of you as part of this church have been in a number of our water baptism services. I always like to do this. I always like to teach for the benefit of not only all the candidates, but really for our entire congregation. Amen. I believe it's very important that we understand the significance. And I think a lot of times people really do not understand the big picture and how important it is and how it should be viewed. So today, many of you take notes. This message will not be long, but I can assure you it will keep you awake. Praise the Lord. And so today, before we water baptize the candidates, I'm going to share briefly what I'm going to call this message, Water Baptism and the Great Commission. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, this morning, before we ever had this service, all the water baptism candidates had attended a class because we know how important it is that every water baptism candidate actually has an understanding of what they are doing and why they are doing it, just like we. Because as Harry A. Ironside once said, to the lover of the Lord Jesus Christ, water baptism is simply the glad expression of a grateful heart, recognizing its identity with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And because of this understanding, anyone, not just the candidates, but anyone can look back to the time when they were water baptized as one of the most precious experiences they have ever known. Amen. I can look back in my own life and remember the day I was water baptized and how precious as a milestone in my fellowship with Jesus was then as it is to today. And so I told you there to look with me as we talk about water baptism and the Great Commission, Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, his disciples, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing. Everybody say baptizing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And so understanding why water baptism is so important, why it should be done, and what it is what we want to take a few moments, again, I'm saying to all of us, to remind us of. Water baptism, first and foremost, is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is obedience to God's word that is a big deal, and that every person that is doing that is really obeying God's command. This is not a holy suggestion. This is something that should be taken very seriously to every person in their fellowship with Jesus Christ. It is actually an outward sign or an expression of an inward grace, the showing of one's personal faith and acceptance of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Before anyone is ever water baptized, they should have already made the personal profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So it is an outward sign it's an outward sign of dying to your old self and resurrection to a new life in Jesus Christ. In this way, it teaches on and demonstrates our identification with Jesus Christ. The dying to self or to the old life, and actually it is it is us identifying that we are resurrected to a new life, and that is one in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. So it is a public declaration and demonstration of one's faith in Christ and one's fellowship of Christ and Him alone. How many know He alone is our Savior? And it is showing our fellowship of Him as a disciple of Christ. And for this reason, it should be taken very seriously. Notice once again, He said that we're to go into all the world. Well, actually, in verse 18, that Jesus, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And then verse 19, He says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One thing that this clearly teaches is that disciples or followers of Jesus Christ, that's what a disciple is, one who actually obeys the commands of Jesus, takes His word and does His word. They are the followers. We follow His teaching. We become His pupil, His student. The fellowship of Jesus Christ as disciple means that we will follow Him in this step of discipleship, which is that we are water baptized. Once again, it doesn't save us. So understanding what it is important, but we need to understand what it isn't as well. Like I say, it isn't a guarantee to heaven. Only faith in Jesus Christ does that. Amen. And so water baptism doesn't save you, but it demonstrates to the world that you have already given your heart to Jesus Christ, and because of it, you know you are saved, and now you are being obedient as a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ, and you understand that water baptism is your next step in life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so this is why this is to be commended. This is why this is to be celebrated, and this is why we need to know the importance of it and what it is and actually what it isn't. So I promise that we will talk about water baptism and the Great Commission. So as we look back at Matthew 28 verse 19, I want to take a moment talking about the Great Commission, because in the Great Commission, as I define it, we'll see that it was Jesus, the head of the church, our Savior's command to make disciples and baptize those disciples. This is why we are doing this today. And so as we read verse 19, it says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, baptizing the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see this also in Mark chapter 16, in verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or you could say to preach the gospel to every person. This is what's known as the Great Commission. How many of you have heard the term Great Commission? Okay, well, in this church, if you have attended for any length of time, you have either heard it or heard it and didn't know you heard it and forgotten it. Because this is not a taboo statement. This is a critical statement that the church is to understand. It's called the Great Commission. And I want to explain that when Jesus commissioned us, His church, to go into all the world, it's called the Great Commission for a reason. The word commission, let me define it for you. It means a written document invested in one with an office. It means to appoint, or it means an appointment. And so it also means an act of investing one with authority. How many know this is a written document? Penned by the Holy Ghost, and the author is God. And Jesus' words are just as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago. He is telling the church that we have been we have been invested with authority, that we have an appointment to go and preach the gospel to the world so that the world could be saved by hearing the message of the gospel. That's called evangelism. And then the world, once saved, you make disciples of them. Followers of Jesus Christ who actually live for God. Not just holding out until heaven comes, but actually knowing Him and walking with Him and making a difference in this earth today by replicating what happened in their life as well. So this is important that we understand that this is Jesus. This word commission is Jesus' appointment and assignment to His church. These two verses, Mark 16, verses 15, we only read verse, Mark 16, 15, we only read verse 15, but if you read through verse 20, all of that is part of the Great Commission. And then in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, is what is known as the Great Commission. This is Jesus' appointment and assignment for the church. If you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, wonder no more what your assignment is. Wonder no more what your appointment is. This is all of our appointment as His church and His assignment. It is to win the lost and to make disciples, believers in Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? Amen. So it is called the Great Commission because it is the church's highest call and assignment given by Almighty God. The highest. So if you wonder what's important with God, this is it. If you have to wonder what your life is supposed to be about, wonder no more. This is it. No matter what you do in the natural, there is a spiritual side that God said, whatever you do naturally, you may be right there in what I call a marketplace ministry. What you do, whether you work for the government, whether you turn a wrench or you go as a nurse, you may be reaching and touching natural humanity, but the bottom line is you're to be a marketplace minister where you go, and this is still our assignment. We are to reach the world in which we go to, and we're to make disciples. Now, I know that your boss didn't hire you to preach and to teach, but I can tell you, I did it for 15 years knowing that if you work hard and you form relationships in the workplace and people see the Jesus in you, you ain't gotta beat somebody over the head with the Bible. They see you live it, and they want what you got. And many of you know that as well. Missionary statement, Hudson Taylor said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, is a command to be obeyed. Famous Canadian pastor and mission advocate, Oswald J. Smith said, listen church, if you've named the name of Jesus, listen to what he said. Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. Only as a church fulfills its soul-winning and disciple-making obligation does it justify its existence. Its ultimate reason for being is that I just spoke, to win and disciple people to Jesus Christ. I remind us today that lost people matter to God, and so they must matter to us as well. Every day, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday night, but every day. Missionary David Livingstone said, if a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? I'm here today to submit to you that we have been commissioned by a heavenly king. Hallelujah. And we have the highest call in all the world, and that is to do the will of Almighty God. The prophet Samuel, speaking to the first king of Israel in 1 Samuel, said that God gave him a message. You tell Saul, the first king, to go and destroy the Amalekites because of what they did to the people of God. Go and do this now, he said. And we see that he had to return to Saul because Saul did not do it God's way. God, Saul did it his way. I'm here today to tell you, there's a lot of people that may know God's way, but they still are doing their way. Just like Saul, and it becomes dangerous. Listen now in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, as the prophet Saul asked King Saul, the prophet Samuel asked the first king of Israel, Saul, when he did not do what God said to do, he said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." See, when the prophet showed back up, God said, "You destroy all of those." What he was doing, he took all the goods, and he said, "Well, God will enjoy a sacrifice. We're honoring God with that sacrifice." God says, "You ain't honoring me if you disobey me." Verse 23, "For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry." And then Samuel in his confrontation with King Saul understood he had done wrong. And then in the next verse, he says this, and Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words." Here's where a lot of people are at, and we've all been at one time or another, so I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying we got to get out of this place. He said, because... Here's the excuse. "Because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice." Whenever we fear people more than God, we are in trouble. I wonder how many never come to Jesus Christ, even while under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because they thought, "What will people think of me giving my heart to Jesus Christ?" Yet Jesus Christ did exactly the opposite in becoming our king. He took on the form of a man and thought it not robbery to be equal to God. In that's why we must worship and follow him, because he did exactly opposite of what Saul did. Saul disobeyed. Jesus obeyed. He came and became our sacrifice for our sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7 says it so eloquently. It's quoting there from the book of Psalms. It says, "Wherefore, when he cometh," talking about Jesus, "comes into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure.'" See, that's why they offered most of those sacrifices, because they were in disobedience to God, and the sacrifices got them back in right standing with God. That's why you see all these sacrifices. But he said, "And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come in the volume of the book.'" Who's it talking about? Jesus. "I've come in the volume of the book. It is written me to do your will, O God." Jesus' obedience to the Father's will was for our disobedience and sin, not for himself, because he had no sin. This is why Jesus gave his life. And this is why Jesus died, so that we could be made right with God himself, so that we could be saved. And this is why those that understand what I'm talking about today receive this amazing King, this Son of God, this Jesus Christ, and make him Lord and become his disciple, like those that are being water baptized today. If Jesus Christ be God, and he is, let me say it like this. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Amen. This is why today I stand and make a plea that you give your heart to him today if you have never. There's many reasons why people never come to God. One of which, God clearly tells us in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he says, people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, even his people, how much more the world. Simply put, many people never know how to come to God. They know there's a God, they know something about Jesus, but they have no idea why he died. He died because of our sin, so that we could be made right with God and have an almighty God who created us, that we could have a living relationship with him. Can I get an amen in here today? This is why I plead with you to give your heart to him today if you haven't. Some would say, Pastor, you're very passionate about these things. Yes, I am. And I'm reminded today of the words of missionary P.F. Breezy, who said, we are debtors to every man to give him the gospel in the same measure in which we have received it. And I can tell you, I didn't receive greasy grace. I didn't receive a pushover God. I received a God who made clear to me that he hung on a cross. He came and stepped out of heaven, and he came and walked as a man. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost and went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. He healed on the head of the serpent and crushed him. And he hung on a cross for my sin, having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. And he died in our place, descended to hell, and paid the price of all mankind's sin in 3 days and three nights in the hell that you and I deserved. But when the claims of justice were satisfied, God by the Holy Ghost raised them up, shook the foundations of hell. He took the keys of death, hell, and grave, and rose again, and is seated at the right hand of Almighty God. And the last words he spoke to people just like you and I was go into all the world and preach this message to all the world. He that is believed and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be damned. And I'm here today to tell you, come on, Brother Ryan, I want you to come. We're all on, whether we know it or not, a collision course to eternity. All of us are. We may try to avoid it. We may want to think that we can extend our life and do all the things that even the world's elite are trying to do. Upload their consciousness into the iCloud, and one day they're going to live forever. Fooey! You are a spirit being, and you will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. And I let us know in here today that the tragedy is that so many people put off the most important thing, their decision for eternity. Matter of fact, you may be putting it off, but you already made a choice. No choice is still a choice. And so today, I'm telling you, there's people, they're on a collision course to eternity, and yet they have forgotten. They have forgotten about one day. Oh, they think they have plenty of time. The devil will talk you into it. The devil will think, oh, you're all right. It's all good. Oh, you're a good person, and all those things. But not one of those things I just mentioned makes us right with God. Matter of fact, we cannot make ourselves right with God. No good works, no matter good things that we did, no morality, even though that's important, can make us right with God. Only by our faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for all of our sin, can make us right with Almighty God. Have faith in him. The good news is we can all come to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him will not perish but have everlasting life. I'm telling you, people make more plan about their grocery list than they plan for eternity. People make more plans for a week-long vacation than they do for eternity, either in heaven or hell. And that it ought not to be. And today, this is why I am passionate about this. Because that same message, we are debtors, I'll quote it again, we are debtors to every man to give him the gospel in the same measure in which we have received it. My passion today is stood, it was found in the answer to these final two questions. Number one, listen, if you found a cure for cancer, wouldn't it be inconceivable to hide it from the rest of mankind? Wouldn't it be? then how much more inconceivable? You think my fire is fiery yet? You hold on. Because how much more inconceivable to keep silent the cure from the eternal wages of death? Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That means this is spiritual death. This is total separation from God for eternity. You say, well, that can't be too bad. That's not what the Bible says. It calls it eternal torment. It calls it everlasting separation from God and torment, where the worm does not die, the fire's not quenched. It'll be the final abode of not only Satan himself and the Antichrist and the false prophet, but it'll be the final abode for every rebellious spirit being that has rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or did not make Him the Lord and Savior of life. For the wages of sin is death. God told man this from the very beginning in the garden. The day you eat it, you shall surely die, so don't eat it. But man did. And that death, according to Romans 5 and many other places, passed upon all mankind. The wages of sin is death. But I'm glad God didn't finish right there. This is why God has sent His Son Jesus. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My question to you today is, have you received that gift? It's a gift. See, you can't earn salvation. There's nothing we can do to earn it. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us in ourselves meet God's standard. This is why God sent His Son. He came to us. As His hand reached out to us, His grace came in the form of Jesus Christ, His Son, who died and pardoned us so that we could have eternal life. It's our faith that reaches out and grabs that hand and said, I simply receive what you've given. Because if God hadn't given it, you can't get it. But the good news is God has, and He's waiting for us to receive. Would you bow your hearts and heads with me in closing today? Father, I believe I've done what you've asked.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.